Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware.
Welcome to the Aware Show Teleseminar Series. How is everybody doing today? This is Lisa Garr, and we are talking about today something that almost everyone on this call can relate to, and it has to do with communication between the sexes, male to female communication, and how it works, and what happens when we communicate with each other. And it has such a vast, deep, wonderful background and history, and an incredible person to talk about it, who is Alison Armstrong, one of the most effective relationship experts on the planet, according to me and thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have taken her courses. I'm going to tell you, first of all, where to go on the website, which is going to lead you to the place where you can ask questions during the call, which I love and encourage you to do so that you can always get your – I love bringing – your perspectives in this, because ultimately this show is for you listening right now, wherever you are, and to bring your perspectives into it. So go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/Armstrong, and there you will find an area to enter in questions for the show to that I'll get to throughout the show. So a lot of great questions coming in here, and a lot of people are sending hugs to you, by the way. Lots of big hugs to Alison on the call. You are the authenticity queen. I love that one.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
That's somebody who really must know you well, because you have always been so committed to authentic communication and where you come from, even with your personal relationship and your children and everything around you. And I really appreciate that about you as well. So thank you. Did I mention the website? theawareshow.com/Armstrong. Yes, people will go there and enter in questions. So the CD series that you are, you know, your seminal CD series that all of the courses and everything are built on, brings so much insight into male-to-female communication and how we are such beautifully different beings, and where we come from in our communication level is so different. It's the biggest mistake that I think that I got from listening to the series over and over and over again, because I get something different every time I listen, is how we misunderstand each other based on what we need to hear in a communication. And that's like a general statement there. But can you explain how men and women hear things in a different way based on our needs? So what type of, for example, if a woman usually comes from a place of needing to be heard, needing to be communicated with, right, in general?
So you want me to jump off from there?
Oh, well, I'm just asking, yeah.
Because men definitely need to be heard as well. So it's not just a female thing.
But how do we experience that differently?
Yeah, well, oh my gosh, okay. Sorry, my thoughts are all trying to get through the door at one time. So I have to wait a second for them to line up, especially in an order that's comprehensible. Okay, let me see if I can start here. As much as it is male and female, it's also masculine and feminine.
Right, that's a great distinction.
Yeah, so it's not just strictly limited, you know, to the gender. There's also ways of thinking and relating in a particular moment. So, for example, if someone is being accountable, which is, from my point of view, inherently masculine. Mm-hmm. If someone's being accountable for a result, then how they're going to be listening is, what's the point? Or what's the problem? So if the person speaking is fine, they're listening, what's the point? And they'll even say things like, and the point is, are we getting to a point here?
And would you say
is there a point?
Right, right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So that person will feel like their time and energy is being the best used if the person who's speaking to them gets to the point. And they'll get frustrated and impatient if it appears they're not going to get to the point, or that they start to be concerned that there is no point. If the person that's talking to someone who's being accountable is upset, then they're going to listen, what's the problem? And again, they will get frustrated if the problem isn't becoming clear, if the person isn't getting to the point of saying what the problem is. And so they'll often interrupt and ask questions to clarify what the problem is so that they can get busy solving it. And this, of course, just by saying this much, right, sets up a conflict with the feminine, whose purpose in most communications is to connect. It's not to produce a result, it's to connect. And so the detail that she's providing in what she's sharing is in order to be known and to be seen and to connect with the other person. And how she's listening to the other person is the same way. So she's listening for the other person to reveal themselves and to give details and to make themselves known to her. And she only does this with people she trusts. And so if the feminine is interacting with the masculine, who's getting to the point, which requires very few details, how she's going to interpret it is that that person doesn't trust her and doesn't want to be known and seen by her, doesn't want to connect with her, and is intentionally withholding details and preventing a connection from happening.
So, and I love the fact that you said the masculine versus the feminine, not versus, but these are the different perspectives that you come from, rather than men, women, masculine, feminine. So in our communication, in a female-to-female communication, we can have communication with other women and basically just look, we're seeking connection, we're seeking maybe information. That conversation will flow in an easier way than if we were to try to have that same communication with the masculine, where we're seeking connection and just information and chatting, not a flowing conversation that happens commonly between the masculine and the feminine. Is that basically what you're saying? It doesn't flow as easily?
Well, and that's all your interpretation of flow, which is a feminine interpretation. If you have two women together, one could be in a masculine mode and getting really frustrated by what the other woman's doing, right? So I would say in a feminine to feminine communication, what you're going to have is someone revealing themselves and then someone going, oh, yeah, me too, right?
Right.
Oh, I just like that.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I think so too.
This is my story.
Yeah, and in those moments, it's like, oh, we're alike. We agree. We have a connection.
Female bonding. Yes.
And so there's this, and that's, I think, what you mean, more of this kind of like flow and we dance and
they're right. Such
and
a
we
girly
get all excited.
Thing to say.
We call that a conversation, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then, but the masculine, that is not a conversation. That's a nightmare.
A waste of time.
Well, that is, that to the masculine, not only do they want the person speaking to get to the point, they want the person listening to allow them to get to their point. So if the other person's going, oh, yeah, me too, that's just an interruption. And it's just throwing the train off the track. and they will eventually stop trying to speak. And this is why women end up thinking men are shallow, or they're uncommunicative, or they're withheld. They don't realize that they're interrupting what is a flow to him. A flow to a man means you're quiet and you're listening to me until I'm done. That's a flow.
And it's so good to even, especially if you work with men and women in your relationships with working, that is so important. It has a ton to do with how effective you can be with coworkers in a work environment. Even, I don't know about brother and sister, but I see that mostly because someone was asking about a work environment and so forth. But I, for years, have been listening to your work, Allison, and I popped back in the CD set and I was extrapolating ideas for our interview today, and I got so lost in it. I was on the fifth CD before I went, oh God, I'm supposed to be coming up with topics here because this is... I was going to, yes, all right, let me go and work on that tonight. And I'm like, everything I'm hearing my husband say is different now. And because, and then I'm like, damn it, I got to come up with topics. Because it makes so much sense to me. And you're, of course, a comedian, and I've always said that you should have your own stand-up show at Vegas because you would fill, like, you know, stadiums. But, but the whole idea of that for me, the bottom line in communication between the masculine and the feminine is understanding how each individual hears things differently and what they really are needing to get out of a conversation. And of course, all the questions that are flying up here want to know about the intimacy, passion, sex, all of that stuff, because that conversation always comes up when I talk with you. But I want people to understand that this is the basis of it. So the bottom line between really, I guess I want to say healing communication between males and females is to understand how we hear things differently. And this, of course, spawns off to several different conversations. But understanding, which is why it's in the title of your work, how we hear messages differently and how we communicate is such an important part of the bottom line of what we're going to be talking about here. So, oh, God, that could also do with parenting and that whole conversation with sons and daughters, right?
And can I add something to what you just said?
Yeah, please.
Because you're talking about how we hear each other differently. Another really important thing to know is, and this tends to go along the lines of men and women, is that we don't hear each other the same way. If you've read Lou Anne Brizendine's work, The Female Brain, which I adore what she's done, estrogen has a very different effect on the development of the brain, including our vision and auditory centers. And so women tend to hear tone in a way that, and it conveys so much in our tone that's different than our words. And whereas men tend to be more literal, and they listen to the words. So if you say, if a woman says to a woman, do you want to go to the movies? And she goes, okay. Any woman knows she does not want to go to the movies.
Exactly what that means. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right? Now, if you say to a man, do you want to go to the movies? And he says, I'm busy.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
A woman's going to be trying to figure out,
what
does he mean by that? What does he mean by that? Is he mad at me? Is he going to break up with me? Does he not like me anymore? Is it the 10 pounds I gained? You know what I mean? Like, she's going to go crazy, right?
Yes.
Now, all he means is he's busy.
Right.
You know, do you want to go to the movies tonight? I'm busy.
That's it.
It doesn't occur to him to explain, and it doesn't occur to him to counteroffer, because men aren't built that way. To explain would be to waste energy stating the obvious. Everybody knows it's Friday night, and
right,
and
right.
He's going to be recovering from his week, and he's busy doing nothing, recovering.
Uh-huh, which is right.
You know, and so it's... So men tend to be very literal. They say what they mean, and they mean what they say, and there's nothing to be read into it. And women convey all this background meaning in their tone. And their words are not necessarily, should not be taken literally.
Oh, my gosh. Sometimes for me, when I, from my personal experience, when I have, you know, my husband is talking and wanting to say something, my multitasking brain is going crazy, and I need to and can and perfectly capable of listening to everything he says, walking down the hallway at the same time, putting the toilet paper bowl back in the toilet paper, coming back to the kitchen, finishing up the, and I can finish the dishes and do all that and hear every single thing he says. And go ahead and respond, too, but he cannot stand that I am walking around while he is making a point. And so sometimes I have to hold on to the counter to not move because he really just wants me to pay attention to what he is saying, and I completely get that. But how do I just like, sometimes it's really hard for me, Allison, to stand still and not listen to the laundry calling my name and the dishwasher saying I need filling and the shoes calling me to tell me to put them away.
Yeah, and what you're talking about is what we illuminate in the Understanding Women CD set about a woman's diffuse awareness how it does have her environment be loud and demanding and literally is talking to you. And the advice we give there and that I would give here is have your husband touch you. Have him hold your hand while he's telling you what he wants to tell you. And, or have you sit in his lap, for gosh sake.
That's better than like a headlock, I think. Because
much
that's
better
pretty,
than a headlock,
that's
yes.
That's what he wants to do.
Yes, much better than a headlock. Just because when you touch a woman, your touch becomes the loudest thing in her environment.
Ah.
And it helps to turn down the volume on all those things that are saying, do me, do me, do me now. And you can be with him much, much more easily. Now, if you're sitting in his lap listening to him, you will straighten his collar and pick the lint off of his shoulder and smooth the eyebrow that's twisted up.
Yep.
You know, you will do that because your vision is going to take in all those details and tell you that they must be corrected. But at least you're going to be much closer to giving him the nearest thing you have to your undivided attention.
Right, which is a fraction of it, and then that's fine because that's really all he wants is just to be heard in that time. I don't need to solve anything. I don't need to, you know, I just need to listen. And every now and then I'll have a morsel of communication back, but he just wants to be heard. And he has so clearly expressed that to me, and I'm getting a little better, a little better at it.
Well, let me see if I can make it worse for you, which will help you get better at it.
Okay.
Because men don't understand the way that our environments pull at us all the time, they think that you're choosing those other things. So he thinks that you're saying the laundry is more important than he is.
Huh.
And it hurts. And they won't say the word hurt. They'll say, the word they use is crushed. I was crushed. I was telling her something really important, and she went and put water on the stove. What's up with that? It really, really hurts them. And if you can remember that you wandering down the hall and putting the laundry in, that hurts him, that occurs to him, like you're saying that's more important, then the deal that you can make in your partnership, which is what this is all about, is, honey, I want to tell you something's important to me. Is there anything you need to do before you can sit down and listen to me? And then that gives you a chance to go, I need to put the laundry from the washer to the dryer. I need to turn the water off the stove.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I need to get a drink of water because I'm really thirsty. And I'll be right with you. I'll meet you right there on the couch. If I'm not there in 5 minutes, come get me.
Mm.
Because you could be putting the wash from the washer to the dryer, and then you notice that the wall's dirty, and you start cleaning it. And then as you throw away the rag from cleaning the wall, you notice that the trash bag has kind of fallen in and it needs to be.
Oh, God, yes. It is right? Such a cascading effect, yes.
Exactly, yes. And that's what your vision will do to you, and that's why you say, if I'm not there in 5 minutes, come get me. Rescue me from what my own mind will do.
That is, it's the hardest for me at night, right before my husband goes to bed, because he goes to bed much, much earlier than I do. I'm a night owl, and I do a lot of my research at night, and most of the night, like 3 nights or 4 nights a week, we're in different patterns, and I make it a point that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm there, but on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, those are my work nights. But I have learned that I sit down right before he's about to go to sleep and so forth, and he's sitting on the couch and chilling and watching, you know, MMA and so forth, which is that's his chill time. And I sit down and I cannot stand. I'm sorry, I just cannot stand mixed martial arts. I don't get it, and I just have a hard time sitting there. But I know he needs just 5 minutes of my communication before I take off to my office and start working out of my house. And so I'll sit there, and even if it's 5 minutes of saying nothing, that means more to him, and then eventually we'll talk a little bit about our day and so forth, but that just means so much for him to sit there. And for me, I don't look at it as that I'm compromising. I look at it as a good thing. I mean, this is the time that he's chilling, needing just his wife to sit right there next to him in a nonverbal way and just to be for a few minutes before he goes to bed. And I have learned that from you, because you taught me. So this is something I want you to go into, if you can, for the listeners, is how men and women relax differently. What does that mean for us? How do the masculine and feminine, sorry, I'm going to say that differently. How does the masculine relax and wind down, and what is needed there in terms of communication from the feminine?
Okay, that's a great question. So it goes back to where we started, that the masculine is being accountable for producing a result. So they're focused and committed to producing a result. And so what it means to relax is to mean to not have any result to produce, to not be responsible or accountable for anything in that moment, and to engage in things that require nothing of them. If someone wants to write it down, that's what you'd underline. Things that require nothing.
Like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Meaning there's no decision to be made.
There's no problem
to solve.
Right.
There's no plan to create.
God, that is so counterintuitive for this.
I know. There's no, oh, good, he's sitting there. I can catch him. I can ask him a question.
Let's go over tomorrow.
Yes, 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 yes. So that, all those things we're inclined to do when we find him sitting there, now I can talk to him. The opposite of relaxing. So
totally.
If you've got that stuff to do, honey, before you go relax, I need to ask you some questions. I need to discuss our vacation with you before you relax. We think, well, while you're relaxing, let's talk about our vacation. No! No, that's not a relaxing thing to do.
Nope.
Okay, so.
Not at all.
Yes.
Not at all.
So, I mean, can you see this is just this tiny thing, but it causes so much angst because he's trying to relax and we're trying to get information. And we think it's a fun conversation to find out what does he want to go on vacation. We don't realize to him it's a committed conversation. It's a problem-solving conversation. It's a planning conversation. And we're making him do something while he's trying to relax. And then he's getting all irritated. And we don't know why he's all irritated. And we're like, well, you probably don't want to go on vacation with me anyway. And then we were feeling the hurt. And then we're mad at him. And he's like, what the heck? I was just
so done
couch.
This. I've so done this so many times. Yes. So many times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, can you pick up Kayla tomorrow from school?
Yeah.
What?
Exactly. Exactly. Do you realize that seems like an innocent question? Can you pick up Kayla tomorrow from school? That is a planning question, a problem solving question. You're asking for a commitment on his part, which they do not commit themselves lightly.
No.
I mean, it's and you think it's just a casual
gotta look
question.
At the calendar. Yeah, it goes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is an answer to your question, how the masculine relaxes. But the reverse happens as well. How the feminine relaxes is what we call zone out time. So the feminine relaxes by being totally captivated in something that a movie or a book or a magazine article or a conversation with someone that they adore, you know, but it's mostly books and movies that or sewing something or, but it's something that you're painting. It's something that makes the rest of the world disappear. And so that noisy environment that is requiring that you fix it and straighten it and clean it and beautify it, it all just disappears in this amazing movie or book you're reading. And we just need to be carried away. And that's where we relax. We're just carried away. And unfortunately,
oh, yeah.
They're so excited that we're finally not moving and doing something oh my gosh, she's sitting. She's still sitting in the same place. I could go be with her. And then they'll sit down and they'll try to talk to us. Like, oh, and we'll even keep reading the book.
Right.
And they'll keep talking. Well, we're like, no, I don't want to give up my... Pull me back to reality. Please don't make me come back. Please don't make me come back. No, not now. I just needed a half an hour escape. Please.
Yep. I was so in the romance novel.
Do you realize what he's doing to her right now?
I want to finish this one because the next one is even better.
She's unbuttoning her shirt. Go away. I mean, it's like,
go away.
Yeah, so, not understanding, not being able to see what's happening for the other person, we cause all this upset and irritation and we don't give people, each other the space that we need to relax, which the result of having relaxed is that we come back to each other better people.
That's a good point. Yes.
Yes. That's where we renew ourselves to give to each other. And it's one of the most important things to be protective of is someone's ability to renew themselves.
The battery recharging time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just by simply having that respect for that environment is basically where, I mean, just in understanding that, it could unlock a whole new level of deepening, a whole new level of communication.
Yeah, and it would just remove a bunch of irritation and things that get perceived as disrespect and uncaring and unloving.
Right. One of the listeners just says that her husband says that she's too, quote, emotional. And that's the perfect example of that. So she, you know, wants to chat, but when he says, no, I'm not excited about, or doesn't respond to her excitement, she takes that as he's not interested. That's basically the bottom line, right?
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. No?
Well, you're getting into a whole area. Of what I would call the feelings-based organism versus a facts-based organism. And when a man accuses a woman of being too emotional, he's saying she's not being fact-based, logic-based, information-based. And that's the masculine. And she's gonna have an emotional response to things. Most women, their first response will be a feelings-based response. How does this make me feel? If it makes me feel good, I'll go in that direction. If it makes me feel bad, I'll try to kill it or get away from it.
I wonder if that could make a difference on, well, I mean, for example, this Lynn from Ontario says, I would appreciate any suggestions that you have for how to help our men open up emotionally. So could that have to do with, I mean, what you just said, the different ways of thinking about it. Do you think that we, well, yes, I mean, you go into this whole thing about expecting our men to be hairy women and expecting them to be as emotional as women, and that is one of the biggest mistakes that we could make, is expecting them to be like us and or like our girlfriends, and they just flat out aren't going to be. The masculine is not going to be that way, and we're expecting them to be, and then they just can't be. In many cases.
Well, can I get behind the question?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yes.
See, we want our men to open up emotionally. We want them to tell us how they feel about things, because we think that that will allow us to know them better. And we think that will allow us to predict what it is they're going to do. And that's completely based upon, like you said, thinking a man is a hairy woman. And so we think he's a woman who's hairy and who is concealing his emotions. And if we could just get him to, you know, open up about them, then we could know him better. Except for the problem is, he doesn't identify his emotions or his feelings as himself. He doesn't think that's who he is. So for him to tell you about it, to him, that's actually not, it's not useful. It's not factual, and it's not what his actions are going to be based on. So with a woman, yeah, you want to know what she feels about everything. And you want to know what her favorite feelings are. And you want to know what feelings she avoids. And you want to know what causes her favorite feelings. And what causes the feelings she avoids. And everything you can find out about a woman's feelings, the better off you're going to be. And as a woman, to know me is to know my feelings. To respect me is to respect my feelings. To be interested in me is to be interested in my feelings. To be curious about me,
right,
to be curious about my feelings.
Right.
I mean, I don't have feelings. I am those feelings.
Right. There's no difference.
Yeah, that's me. And and so that's why we want to get men to open up emotionally. But it won't do you any good. You know, men, yes, they have emotions. They're buried very deep. You have to listen with interest and safety and without interruption for a very long time for a man to go deep enough to tell you about his emotions. But don't expect his decisions to be based on them, and don't expect him to feel like if you know his emotions, you know him. It's if you know his values, you know him. If you know what he cares about, you know him. If you know what he thinks is worth protecting and providing, then you know him. So women can spend a lot of time getting men to open up emotionally, and it won't get them what they really want. It won't get them knowing him, understanding him, or being able to predict what he does.
And also an understanding that I've heard men or certain men say, wow, I don't know where that feeling came from. And you're absolutely right about that, that the common masculine experience is not to identify as themselves as an emotional being, that emotions are something that either happen to them or come up out of the blue, but not fully like we are as women, up and we're down and we're in and we're out. You know that?
Yeah, and I got to interrupt, Lisa, I'm sorry, because it's not like they are emotional beings and they don't identify themselves as emotional beings. The only feeling men trust, they call a gut feeling. And
And
there's actually good reason to trust that. There's all this research now that shows we have as many neurotransmitters in our gut as we have in our brain. So
okay, no, I'm glad you corrected me. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yes.
It's not that they don't identify themselves. It's that they're not. They're not built the way we are. They don't,
brain chemistry, brain, yeah, all
and
of that.
And it's not
yeah.
just brain, it's physiology. I mean, we've talked about, you know, the place in the center of a woman's chest where her feelings can be physically injured, where she can feel like she was punched or stabbed or run over, and the pain, the physical pain associated with that, that men don't have that.
They don't have that. Wow.
They don't have that.
Lucky, sometimes. I mean, really.
Well, and that's the thing for the men who are listening, you know, they can think, oh, my God, how can we cure women of this? If you cure them of it, you're also going to remove the source of our magic, the source of our nurturing, the source of our life-givingness, the source of our sensuality and sexuality. Everything you love about a woman is sourced from that place in the center of her chest.
Including, yeah, exactly, our passion, our sensuality, all of that. That's true. So mm-hmm. that's a good, it's not something to be cured.
No, or ignored, or tell her to get over it. If you want a man in a skirt, tell a woman to get over her feelings.
Oh, and I have, oh gosh, and I have felt that feeling too, where that just, you get, with words, it feels like you're punched in the center of your chest and you get lightheaded. And it can be done with rejection. It can be done with harsh words. It absolutely can. It is a physical feeling, and it is mm-hmm. very true. One of my male listeners saying, I did not know that women have that experience.
It's one of the things, it's one of the most important things we talk about in Understanding Women, Unlock the Mystery, is what a woman's feelings are to her. And why making a woman happy is something that men love to do, and why it has such a huge impact on us and on them. And then the reverse, the huge impact of hurting a woman's feelings and the way that it disconnects her. When our feelings are badly hurt, we're disconnected from everything, from you, from ourselves, from truth,
right.
from the eternal, from
right.
God.
Our
we're disconnected from everything. And connection is what makes us safe. So our feelings being hurt puts us in the scariest place a woman can go to.
A survival. Yes, that is so true.
Yeah. And
it's so beautiful that you could put words to that.
Hmm.
That is so true. I was listening, I don't know, was there a radio show on, this woman was on and she had this, this thing that she called wife school. And she basically was saying, if you don't have sex with your husband, somebody else is. I thought that was so bold. And she wrote this book where she interviewed all these mistresses and all of these, mistresses, okay? I don't even know.
Or so, professionals?
Yes, yes. Okay, so I got to ask you about that.
Okay.
And there's a lot of questions coming up about sex, and some people are saying the sex is over, and some people are saying how often. You get that question a million times.
Okay.
How many times a week? So, and I'm not going to focus on that whole wife school thing. I just want to ask you, do you think that is true, if you're not having sex with your husband, and that somebody else is?
Well, it's not always true, but
it gets into the whole conversation of sex and relationships. That's where I'm going with this.
Yeah, but I was talking to a man who went 13 years without sex, and he calls it the drought.
Yeah.
And he and his wife no longer are together. And the sad thing about it is that men need sex.
Need.
And it provides so much for them. And a man, when she says, if you're not having sex with your husband, somebody else is, it means if that isn't happening, what you've got is, you set him up in a battle between his needs and his integrity.
What do you mean by that?
Well, so if a man is committed to being monogamous, which men make this commitment all the time, and most men love being monogamous, and it fits for them, it works for them. But if they're monogamous, and it's like committing to only eating at one restaurant, but if that restaurant's mostly closed when you're hungry, then you're forced to go someplace else or go hungry. And that's what women do all the time. They force their men to go hungry or to make the decision, I promise to not eat anywhere else, but I'm starving. Mm. So I need to do that. And then they do that and they feel terrible about themselves. In our men's course, it's one of the top things that comes up that men have never forgiven themselves for is being unfaithful.
Wow.
But we put them into a position where it's a battle between their honor and their integrity and something they need so desperately. And I think that's cruel and stupid. And if you've entered into an agreement to be monogamous, I think you've entered into an obligation to be a sexual provider.
Mm-hmm. I'm very clear about that, and I have listened to you for years talk about this, and you are absolutely 100% right. And I believe you.
And if I may, one of the things that will help women and men be better at this is have a conversation with your partner where you find out what sex provides for them and what different variations of the sexual menu provide for them, time of day and different activities and how many... The first time per week, what does that do? And then if it's twice a week, what does that do? And if it's three times a week, what does that do? And what is just this sexy flirtation that doesn't end up in intercourse do for you? If you found out what that provided for your partner, man or woman, you know, ask each other that question, it would completely alter the way you related to having sex and how much you cared whether or not you wanted to. I all the time I'm telling people, have sex when you don't want to.
Why do you say that?
Because we don't want to have sex at the same time often enough to take care of each other. And if you wait to want to have sex to start having sex, you won't do it enough. But if you start having sex when one of your partners generates sex or needs sex or asks for sex, if you just start... You'll get into it, and if you don't get into it, buy a book.
You said to me once, who is your...
Buy a book, get Luann...
Spartacus.
Yes, get Luann... Go buy Luann Padgett's books on sex, right? How to be a great lover, how to give her ultimate pleasure. If you cannot help your partner want to have sex, get better at it. Go learn something.
This is a major important thing, and I've gone both directions on this. When I first heard you say this, and I'm like, oh, what? I'm a strong woman. I call the shots here. This is, it's got to be on my time. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then there was like the drought. And that did not work for either of us.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you don't have a right to have sex. You do have a right to have sex. Now, having established that, reconsider.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm going to start to address your questions because, of course, I had a flood of people questioning now both sides. But I mean, for the full 16 hours on this one, you got to go through the CD set and you have to listen to the whole background on how men and women really can get along. Oh God, how do I even say this? They have a beautiful, passionate sexual relationship no matter how many times you've been married, no matter how long you've been married, no matter how long it's been since you've had sex. Yeah. All those things, it doesn't matter. There's a whole history to this conversation. And there's
So I have to say something here because I know you have a package, right?
Yes, that's
and the CD that you're talking about on delicious sexual partnerships isn't included in the package you put together. I don't want people to get it and then be upset that it's not on there, because what you're talking about is on the CD set called Celebrating Partnership with Alison Armstrong.
No, it was the one I was listening to was Understanding Women.
Okay, but we don't tell you how to have really awesome, sexy partnerships.
Oh, there's a better one. Okay. Well, I got a lot of that.
I can tell you how to invite your woman to bed when she's in the middle of doing dishes on
yes.
Understanding Women.
Yes. That was the part I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And I'm glad you're referring to this because, again, the masculine thinks, you know, there's no point in wasting energy stating the obvious. And so a woman will be in the middle of this diffuse awareness flurry of all these things that are saying, do me, do me, do me. And he shows up and says, no, do me.
Right.
Or
right.
You want to do it? Right?
Right.
No. How come you want to find out what sex provides for her is so that you can make her a much more attractive offer. So you can say, you can take her by the hand and say, honey, I know there's all these things in your environment that say you need to fix them, but I'd really like to touch your body in ways that give you just paroxysms of pleasure and physical and emotional ecstasy and make you feel like the most beautiful creature on earth. Could I take you away from all this housework? And all these emails and all these things that are demanding your attention, can I take you away from that and make love to you?
Now, that is irrefusable. That is downright irrefusable.
Yeah, and this is
ladies,
a guy's...
Men, are you listening?
Yeah, this is a guy's responsibility. Make a more attractive invitation. You think it's obvious why sex would be a good idea. It's not obvious to her. So give more details. Be more elaborate. Elaborate on that.
Wow. So there's a way. I mean, that's what I was talking about. And if you go to the website, theawareshow.com/Armstrong, right there on that page, you'll see the special offer. And it is in that CD set. So much layering in of this conversation that we're just scratching the surface on, that can only be scratched in an hour conversation. And each one of these topics that Alison and I are talking about have a iceberg below it. There is beautiful information on these CDs that is absolutely imperative to how men and women understand and communicate with each other. It is, that's why they call it unlocking the mystery of it. Unlocking the mystery between masculine and feminine communication. It is so great and goes all the way back to our hunter-gatherer days and what the berry makers have to say about it and why we had diffused awareness in the field and how that relates to the kitchen now. And it is all about safety, and there's so many beautiful, juicy bits in this. As I said, I got lost in the fifth CD before I even remembered I was going to need to focus on this.
Can I say something about it being Understanding Women?
Yes.
I mean, that is what that program is, Understanding Women, Unlock the Mystery. But it is also an opportunity for people to understand men, because in every case we're contrasting. You know, because I'm trying to, what I'm doing in that program is translating women for men. And in the process, the women learn about themselves. And you also can learn about men, because we will talk about, like, the way that estrogen affects the brain and creates diffuse awareness, which is the opposite of what testosterone does and creates single focus. So even though it's called Understanding Women, it is a chance to understand both.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful. I love this. One of the male listeners just wrote in saying, I'm going to listen to the replay so I can write down exactly what else. That was beautiful.
But the trick is for him, I'm addressing this man now, you want to find out what sex provides for your partner, because if you listen very carefully, those are the things to invite her to come get in the bedroom.
Is it different for everyone, or is it pretty much usually security, safety, is it different for everyone?
Well, women, you know, this is why we're so much fun. What we want out of sex are feelings. Mm. And the feeling isn't always a feeling of an orgasm. Sometimes, you know, an orgasm to women can be work. It's what my friend Leslie calls trying to catch a fish with your bare hands. And so if a woman doesn't achieve orgasm easily, and that is the goal of sex for a man, then he's inviting her to go to work at 10 o'clock at night. And he may be getting a no, because having an orgasm so he feels good about his sexual prowess is a chore for her. So we're better off asking our partners, you know, for a man to ask a woman, what do you want out of this? What are the feelings that you want? And what is the feeling you want now? Because sometimes a woman might want the feeling of being the most adored creature on earth, and other times she might want to have this feeling of excitement in the unknown because you're doing something you've never done before.
Right.
It's not in, like what you said, sometimes we have this feeling of safety and security, and it's one of the things that allows a woman to have an orgasm and she feels totally safe. But other times, you know, safe may seem like boring. What she wants instead is newness and excitement. And that's why women are so interesting, because we have our favorite feelings and we don't always want all of them. You got to ask.
So Michelle Morrison from Palm Springs, that's your answer. She said, how does one keep the passion of initial bonding after the infatuation of the beginnings and that's of the relationship? And that's what Allison just said very clearly. Ask your partner, what is the feeling you want to get out of sex? What is it that you want? Yes.
Okay, but we have to be careful.
Okay.
I'm saying ask your partner because I'm talking to that man who wants to re-listen to it so he can make that kind of offer.
Okay, what would you say to Michelle then?
Well, what I'd say to Michelle is, you know, you keep the passion alive by keeping passion alive in you. So what men say over and over again is they want their women to have something in their life that they're passionate about, that lights them up, and they want them to engage in that and then bring that passion to their relationship with them. So they're saying feed yourself so you come to me full and expressive instead of empty and needing me to fill you up.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep the passion alive by how you listen to each other. If you listen to a man without interrupting him, you can, I mean, Greg and I have been together for 20 years, and I'm still learning about him.
Learning about him well. Wow.
Yeah, so you got it. You know, passion goes with curiosity, and and we too soon decide we know everything about that person.
Right. And settle, yes.
Yes, and that's why when our partners move on, they come back to life because someone's curious about them again. And you, it's arrogant to think you know something as complex as another human being and lose your curiosity.
I have to address our people who are in new relationships and so forth. So I've been talking a lot about my experience, but someone is asking, JMC, I don't know if it's when creating a new relationship with a man, is it wise to set up an agreement not to have sex for at least 3 months? So what do you think about withholding or having sex too soon or too, you know, what are your feelings about that with dating?
Oh, boy.
I know, another can of worms. I know.
Yeah, no,
I know.
It's not bad. I just am going to say, I'm going to say a couple different things.
Okay.
There are things that people need before engaging in sex is going to be satisfying and not make them crazy. So if there are things that women need that if those aren't in place and they have sex, their minds will just go nuts and they'll become graspy and clingy or bitchy and demanding. And if you know what those things are for you, then make sure they're in place. And and be out loud about them. But the thing, I'm against anything as, the word actually isn't arbitrary, because arbitrary means judgment. I'm against anything that's just a rule, like 3 months.
Oh, okay, right.
You may get everything you need for sex to be something that is a gift in your life and you're better off for it. You may get all of that in 3 minutes, in the first 3 minutes that you meet that person. It could be all there. And you could be with them for 3 months and it isn't there. And one of the things, you know, that we hear from men all the time is, you know, they don't mind women needing things to be able to connect at that level. They need things too. They're, despite popular opinion, they're not all ready to jump in the sack on a moment's notice. But what they hate is when a woman's being strategic about sex, that which is her natural instinct to play the sex card and wait to play it until she gets something valuable in return. And there's this really sad thing that I tell men, and they're just like rolling their eyes. If a woman thinks she can have a future with a man, she's more likely to withhold sex in order to try to ensure that future. Whereas if she thinks there's no future with this guy, he's not rich enough, he's not of the right ethnicity, he's not of the right education level, whatever it is she thinks about him that she thinks there's no future, she can go to bed with him. Because there's nothing to trade for.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like, well, I might as well just, you know, have some passion and have fun and hook up and satisfy need and feel beautiful and get touched. Right?
Right. Uh-huh.
So it's this weird paradox. The more she thinks there's a future with you, the less likely she'll be to act on her own passion and be passionate about sex. And it's a big turnoff for men.
Wow.
And very confusing for them. Like, especially when they can tell you want to have sex, but you're not because of some artificial thing, like 3 months.
Ah, uh-huh.
Like a rule.
That could be a barrier, a definite barrier.
Yeah.
No.
Now, on the other hand, you know, if what you need to have sex is, you know, you both have a clean bill of health,
right,
set that up as an agreement, and then go have all the tests done and bring each other your clean bill of health, and I can play, you know.
Right.
That's a really smart thing to have.
Wow. Yes, and that's a very good point. And a healthy relationship would be tolerant of something like that. Of that's fine. You need to take care of you. You need to do what you need to do. Then we can have. Now we're at another level, and it takes all the guessing and all that energy out of it, which is great.
The other thing I would say, if you can't talk about sex with each other, you're probably not ready to do it.
Huh.
Not in a way that's going to end up satisfying. If you're too shy, you're too uncomfortable, you can't be yourself enough to talk about sex, you're not going to be able to provide the direction your partner needs to be able to take care of you well.
Wow. It's an awkward conversation in the beginning, though, but I guess it does depend on how well, how comfortable you are with yourself, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, with yourself, with your needs. But often what will prevent a woman from being too comfortable talking about sex is she's crazy chemically attracted to this person, which means she can't be herself at all. Which means, you know, there's all these jokes about, you know, men not liking to ask for directions, and they don't, and there's actually a really good reason for that.
Right.
But in bed, it's one place where a woman should very gently provide direction, like, go left, young man, go left. You know, and if she's all worried about doing it right, and what does he think of me, and you know, my boobs too big, and what about the dimples in my butt, and
she's
never going to say, go left.
That's true, because he won't be able to hear it. No, absolutely. That's the other, in the celebrating the Understanding Women CD, that there's a great piece in there about why men ask for directions, and that was really terrific for me to hear that one. I love that. Oh my gosh, it was so great. It's all about safety, folks. Okay, once again, it's the
all about accountability and safety, and they have a very good reason for it.
Very good reason.
God bless
a whole
them.
Yes, yes, it is. It's so clear. Okay, so this is another great question coming in, and I just want to remind people that the website and the where to click is theawareshow.com/Armstrong. All of that is in there for you, and I'll go through that in just a second of what we're talking about with this special offer. But I, you know, read a statistic that the women in the workforce, is about, I think, 60% of women now in relationships are working. So here's a great woman who enters in her question, Maria from Boston. I'm really good at attracting money and job success, but I'm terrible at attracting the right man. And as a matter of fact, if there is a loser in the room, he will find me. Help. Mm. I mean, this always, I've just seen these movies coming out lately about, and television shows about working moms and how does she do it and all that stuff. And, you know, it's obviously been, you know, on the rise and happening for a long time. So what would you suggest to a Maria, a someone who is great in certain areas of their life, but when it comes to men, cannot figure it out?
Well, you broadened her statement a lot. So let me go broad and then narrow.
Okay.
So first of all, if you're a woman who can't figure it out, go lighten up about yourself. Men are inconceivable.
And unpredictable.
Well, from a feminine perspective, what it's like to be a man is unthinkable. And for a woman, for a man, what it's like to be a woman is unthinkable.
Okay.
We can't get our heads around it. And I've been... You know this, when I started studying men, I thought it would take 2 to 3 months to learn everything that was worth knowing about them.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be 21 years in February.
Wow.
And they're still blowing my mind. Okay? Blowing my mind. And so the first thing I would say is cut yourself some slack. This, men are walking paradoxes in the process of resolution. What it is to be a man is fascinating and incredible. Seriously, a man, I'll give you an example of a paradox. A man can meet another man, and how that can resolve itself is anywhere from he could kill that man or he could willingly die for that man.
And that gets determined in...
It's going to get, the beginning of that's going to get determined in the first 2 seconds.
Wow.
But his relationship with that other person could resolve itself anywhere or not along there. Kill him or die for him.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how complex they are. And so that was the first thing to say for all women who are like, I can't get this man thing down. Give yourself a break. They are so different as to be unthinkable. And which to me also means they're fascinating.
Right.
Now what I would say for Maria about if there's a loser in the room, she's going to attract him.
Uh-huh.
And she's not going to like this, but at least, you know, it's that truth will set you free thing. If a woman spends a lot of her time being masculine and authoritative, which is what our careers often evoke in us, because that's how we succeed, and women adapt to whatever success requires. If a woman is masculine and authoritative, she is, and I'm going to give you a difference in this in a minute, okay? If she's masculine and authoritative, she's going to attract the weak and the wounded. Okay, if
Why?
She's masculine and authoritative, she's going to attract the weak and the wounded. She's going to attract men who are looking for her to save them and provide for them.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting.
And this is completely different, by the way, from being powerful and successful.
Of course.
Okay? Men, healthy men, love powerful women. Instinct tells a man, find the best partner you can. They're not looking for the weak and the wounded. They're looking for, not if they want a partnership. They're looking for the best partner they can possibly get a hold of. But the problem is, because women are going, wait a second, I'm powerful, I'm successful, men run from me. They don't run from the power and the success. What sends them packing is that too many of us, with being powerful and successful, have adopted the attitude towards men, then what do I need you for?
Yeah, and then we demasculate men.
Yes, we emasculate them. We don't know what men have to contribute to us. Even when we are powerful and successful, there are things men can give you that you could never in a million years give yourself, and neither could your girlfriends. And I'm not just talking about a particular piece of their anatomy. I'm talking about who a man can be and who a man can be for a woman that no number of women will ever make up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's – but our attitude, I'm better off without you, what do I need you for? That is what sends men away, not being powerful and successful and intelligent and brilliant and capable. All those things are so attractive. And when a man says, but I'm intimidated, what he's saying is, I can't see what you need me for.
So what can women who are powerful and capable and so forth do to, especially even in a marriage or in a relationship or anyway, you know, dating or not?
Start to pay attention to the unique contribution that men are to you. How the way one man being on your side can make you feel safer and have you breathe more deeply and relax into your own beauty and grace in a way that no number of women could ever have you do that. No number, seriously, no number. One man on your side can have you embrace your own beauty and express the most nurturing and magical parts of who you are that you don't have access to without who they are. I'm sorry. Our spirits respond to theirs. We need them.
Yes. And
to be fully ourselves.
And for the women out there that are saying, no, I can get this from my female friends, I can. There's a whole part in the CD that explains why, in a very detailed way, we cannot, in an interesting way.
Yeah, and the thing I want to say is, you and I, you know, I'll be 51 next week, and I was raised as a matter of pride to never need men. And
me too.
Yeah, but this is the thing that I want women to know. Men are not trying to not need you.
Right.
And they don't consider it humiliating or degrading or a failure to need a woman and to acknowledge they need a woman. There are things that we bring to men's lives and to who they can be in the world that they can't get anywhere else. And they know it.
Right.
And
right.
They know it with each other, and they don't talk about it because to them it's obvious.
right. There is
and
no reason to talk about
and
that.
So
uh-huh.
I just want you to know there's no shame in it. It's just the truth. We need each other. It's okay to need each other.
Beautiful. Yeah, it is okay to need it. Right. I mean, it's a backlash from the 50s, and there's a whole thing happening there, but it's... Then the veto power that you talk about in the CD set. I mean, there's so much more to this conversation we're having, by the way, and I definitely want to encourage you, I mean, to learn about this. If you are at all confused about the communication between how men and women can love each other and just be in a different space with each other, I'm talking about, you know, co-workers, boss, employee, mothers, sons, I'm talking about all of that. You have just, there's so much to learn, and in such a great comical way, because it's that whole, gosh, there's a name for that type of comedy when you use real life situations, and that's why people laugh so much. It's, I don't know, Ellen does it.
People are always saying, how do you know this? Are you even following me around?
I know. It's so real life. It's so absolutely true. We do have a few minutes here for people who are, on the line that want to ask a question to Allison live and in person. If you just press *2 to raise your hand and try to keep your questions more general so that more people can be helped. And I love questions for both the men and women listening here.
And I know I'm a girl, but if you're to the point, we can answer more questions.
Exactly. So you press *2 to raise your hand, and I'm going to call on you by the city and state your phone is registered in. But the, because your name doesn't always come up on this thing. So also, in addition to that, if you go to the website, which is theawareshow.com/Armstrong, and you click on the special offer button there, this is a deeply discounted, I mean, really, these are recordings from when Allison used to teach these, the Understanding Women and Amazing Development of Men seminars. I don't think you teach them any longer, but this is you teaching them, and now you have amazing people that do. But it's
I teach the 2-day version of Understanding Women a couple of times a year, and I'll be in Edmonton, in fact, at the beginning of November. And the Amazing Development of Men, we don't teach live anymore, and we haven't talked at all about that. It's a way of understanding men. I mean, there's a balance here, and because there's a whole process of maturing that men go through that women don't understand, and we tend to get imprinted by men at a certain age and think that's what a man is, and it has us miss really important distinctions and make mistakes with men that prevent the whole thing from coming together.
That is so powerful. That piece is so powerful, what's in there, and even the Keys to the Kingdom book, because it talks about the stages that men go through from the frog to the knight to the prince.
From the frog.
Frog
to a prince. That's funny. That's a different metaphor, darling.
I meant that. There's a picture of a frog. Lisa. What are the stages, Allison? The prince.
From page to knight, to prince to king,
Some
of them to elder.
Thank you. Yes. That's,
and we make all kinds of mistakes, and men have no idea what they're going through, and it makes them feel crazy sometimes, and they're at war with themselves, and they don't need to be, and it's really cool.
A single mom is asking a question here about how to deal with boys that she's raising that are strong, and how, this is an amazing piece for you there as well.
Yeah.
Woman, because it will help you understand where they are going from, and that they're not tyrannical sergeants, which she calls them in her email, in her question here.
Her boys are already vetoing her.
Yes, they are. Oh, my gosh, and that's another huge piece. Okay, so where was I? Callers. Yes, I have. From Placentia, California, do you have a question for Allison Armstrong? Okay, let me start it. Oh, my screen froze. Interesting. Gina, if you might be able to unmute that person. For some reason, my screen decided to freeze. There we go. Hi. Is it Jim?
Hi, can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
There you are. I can hear you. Yes.
I love you guys today. Alice, I hear you on Dennis Prager all the time, too.
Thanks.
Anytime you're on, I'm there.
You're great on that show, Allison. Really great.
Oh,
he and I have a really good time together.
That's amazing to me. It's awesome that you guys do. Yes.
It's beautiful.
Okay,
it
so what was your question?
Okay, here's my question. Like the two of you, I have an internet business, and I need some help. I've got my tech team, which are all men, and I email them, okay, how's this going? Tell me how, did you guys put the title on the video? And sometimes they respond and sometimes not. And, you know, I've got an event that, you know, it's live now, but To me, I would like to know, and I don't know. What am I doing wrong, Allison?
Well, you want to remember that they're focused and they're solving problems and there's a time for everything.
Okay.
And so when you're shooting off emails asking for updates when it's not update time, they're not going to do it. And,
okay. It's so funny.
And so you'll feel, you know, you feel ignored and upset and disrespected and gosh, you know, you're paying them and you'll have all kinds of reactions. And my recommendation would be to tell them what you need, which is what you need is certainty and confirmation that certain things are happening. And what would be the, ask them what would be the best way for you to provide that for me that would fit with how you like to work.
Even though the pattern so far has been pretty crappy on my end, What's going on? How can I change that pattern now?
Well, you could apologize. I'm sorry for all the emails saying what's going on. That obviously
doesn't
work for you. I'd like to find out what does work for you. I need information. This is what it would provide for me. What would work best for you? And this is the trick, okay?
Okay.
Then you got to put the imaginary duct tape over your mouth.
The what duct tape?
The imaginary duct tape.
Oh, imaginary.
Put it over your mouth. And let them solve the problem of giving you what you need. Don't tell them what you need and how they're going to do it. Don't say, I need this, and so what I've decided is we're going to have weekly calls. No. This is what I need. How would you like to provide it for me? And then, and is there anything you need for me to do that? And then just listen. Because they'll solve the problem in a way that they can. If you tell them how to do it, they may agree to it and then not do it. Let them figure out how it works for them to do it.
But how do you get it done in a timely manner?
You have to tell them what your timely manner is.
How do you? Oh, you're laughing, and I'm laughing because I'm doing it. And a billion people are emailing in. But wait.
Okay,
can I
teach something?
Yes. Yes.
All right. This is one of my new campaigns in life, is for every person to have a great ask. If you think I said something else, it's spelled A-S-K.
I love it.
Okay.
Teach us. Okay, go ahead. How to have a great ask.
How to have a great ask. If you have a great ask, you get so much more of what you need. Okay?
Okay. I'm going to write this down.
So the first element of a great ask is a simple statement of what you need. I mean simple as a one-liner, not the 20-year history, just a simple statement. I need certainty. I need more information. I need to be kept in the loop of what's done and not done. Those are simple statements. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Second element of a great ask is what this would look like. What it would look like is I would know what's done and what's not done at least the frequency of every fill in the blank, every day, every week, every month, whatever it is for you. And it would be provided for me in any format that works better, written or oral. I'm fine, whatever works for you, smoke signals, anything.
I would know my email is fixed when it starts flowing, or I would know the garage door is fixed when it opens, like that.
No, you just need the garage door fixed, and how you'll know is that it opens. You know, what that would look like is it opens.
Okay, so what it would look like. Okay.
But that's... You don't have to be, they're not stupid. Don't
treat
them like they're stupid. I need the garage door fixed. And that includes that thing doesn't flop down and hit me in the head. You know?
Okay.
So, and then the third element is to say what that would provide. And this is because you have to remember that men are result oriented, not task oriented. So they're all about the difference something would make, okay? They care about what it contributes. They're all about impact, okay? So you have to tell them this is what would provide for you. And that's what makes it worth the inconvenience of doing it.
Could it be something simple like that would make me really happy?
If that's true. But it's got to make you really happy. And this isn't going to make her really happy. This is going to keep her from being crazy.
Mm.
right? It's going to allow her to do her job. It's going to allow her to keep, it'll allow her to be more patient with them about certain things. It'll have her stop. What it provide is I would stop bugging you. There's all kinds of things it would provide. Okay? Mm-hmm. And there's, and yeah, information, certainty, clarity, all these things are worth it for men. That's the third element. And then the fourth element is, and you have to make, you can't drop this out. We drop that out all the time. What do you need to give me what I'm asking for? Uh-huh. And then that's what I was talking about. You got to cover your mouth and listen and be willing for them to say something that's unthinkable to you.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody's different. Now, the other thing I would say, and this is important, it's the element of release, okay? You, like, for example, when you ask someone what they need, you have to release the pressure on them. You can't be on the edge waiting for the answer because then there's no mental space to think about the answer, and when there's no space, people lie. People do anything they can do to get space. So they say, yes, 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 I'll do it. Whatever will have you release your pressure. So you,
yeah.
So you have to release your pressure at, when you ask them what it is that you need. And so that they can think and honestly answer you what they need. Now, another thing that if you want to take it this to the ninja level of having a great ask, is you find out from people what's your favorite way of being asked. So for example, with my COO, her favorite way of being asked is for me to say, I need, and just give a simple statement, and then release immediately. I need, and then release, and then she fills in the rest of the elements, because a great ask is a dialogue. A great ask happens between two partners. So I say what I need, and then she asks me what that looks like. And she only asks for the details she wants, not the 4,000 details I'm compelled to give. And if she needs to know what it provides for me to be willing to do it, then she'll ask. And if not, she's just already a yes. She doesn't need to know what it is. If I asked, it must be important.
And even though she's a she, this could be a man, too. This sounds like what a man would do. Too.
Well, it actually works for men or women.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, that is great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have fun with it.
Yeah. No, that is great. And thank you for your call. Great information. I just got to laugh. I love this part. This they're asking, does the imaginary duct tape come in the special offer?
Yes, it's a bonus. The imaginary duct tape is a bonus. Special offer.
That's a great.
It'll be one of the best investments you ever made.
Seriously, it is. Right. Because where our what we think, what the feminine thinks is most likely overdoing it to the masculine.
Oh gosh, yes. We think words will make a difference. Not nearly as much as space will, as release of pressure will.
A release of pressure. Hey, can you add gratitude to the end of that ask, or really is that up to the individual's way?
Well, it's another element, but basically whatever you appreciate, you're going to get more of.
Okay. So,
and
yeah.
So if she asks them for this and they say what they need, and she gives them what they need, and then they give her the information, and she appreciates them for the information, they'll be like, oh, that worked, which means they're going to do it again. And people just naturally do what's appreciated. I'm actually going to do a teleclass on this next month. It's called Appreciation Equation. We are so sensitive to appreciation, and it's one of the things we need to ask our partners is, how do you like to be appreciated? Because we tend to appreciate the way we like to be appreciated, and we have partners who feel completely unappreciated, and we think we're just going to town appreciating them.
Yes, actually someone just emailed in from Anna from Chicago. She asked a very important question. Do men think their woman is the most beautiful, amazing one in the world ever? Yeah.
They certainly can.
Yeah.
And it'll have to do with how much of the time her face is pinched and screwed up and stern and snarly and edgy versus how much of the time it is smiling and radiant and her eyes are sparkling at him with love and appreciation and respect and letting him know what he can do next to be her hero.
You have the most amazing answers for everything, Allison. I mean, you really, really do. You really do. I'm going to go back and listen and keep listening to, you know, the rest of the CDs because I can't hear this enough, even though I have been talking to you for years. I go back into the regular thingies and I don't need to. But I'm getting some, slowly but surely I'm getting it, and I so appreciate your contribution to the world, Allison. Mm. Honestly.
My privilege, really.
You.
And so much of the words I give you, men gave me. They're immensely articulate and poetic and moving, especially when it comes to who women are for them and what it means to them to get to be something special for us.
Wow. I mean, I absolutely, absolutely love that. There's so much to learn. And if you have, I mean, the responses are just awesome coming in. And to just get more information on this, go to the, there's a, even a thank you gift on the special offer for people who hung on the call and so forth. But this, again, is the main seminar that Allison taught that explains the basis of all this, of the, really clears up 99% of the communication issues that men and women have is on this CD set, on both of the CD sets there in that special offer. And then we were able to, again, deeply discount it for just a really short amount of time. But this is also something that you can listen to in a comedic way with your man because it is light and funny and funny and funny. So, again, go to theawareshow.com/Armstrong. It's a healing gift. It is a really wonderful healing gift. And there is also, if you go to the special offer page there, you'll see at the bottom of the special offer is the free thank you gift as well. So go on there. Go forth, prosper, heal, heal your relationships, get that passion back into your life because it really makes things flow in a beautiful way and it doesn't matter what age, what level of your relationship, and also has a lot to do with yourself, so that all that information is in there as well. So thank you so much, Allison. I love talking to you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. This is fun.
You are always so much fun. And I love the latest, the thank you gift is all about what we were talking about the multitasking during sex. It's just great.
Very good.
Very, very good. All right. Well, I will see you again very soon, I'm sure. And thank you so much for being a part of the Aware Show series. I really appreciate that because I know how busy you are and how committed you are to all the things you do in your life. So thanks for taking the time out, Allison. I mean that.
You're welcome. Thanks
Alrighty.
For what you're providing for the world.
Right back at you. All right.
Bye,
Lisa. I'll talk to you soon. And thank you, all of you, for listening. And bye, Allison. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay. Bye, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
All right. Well, I want to thank the listeners because you guys are the reason why these series happen. And you're the reason why this whole show exists. So thank you so much for being on the call. Thank you to the team, the wonderful team. Jed, thanks for your wonderful comments during the show. I love that. He loves his wife. Part of the production team. And also to Tanya and Gina, thank you guys so much for everything that you do. And until next time, I invite you all to stay aware.